Good morning, good news. Glad you could all be here today. And anyways, my name, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ray DiCiaccio. My wife, Carla, who's sitting over there, have been attending Good News since 1999. So we've been here quite a while. That's right. So we have four boys that we dearly love that spent many years here also. They're all grown up now and in different places. And we live really right down the street here in Attleboro. And I've had this computer support business in town for about 30 years. And today is my first time ever preaching, okay? So today's also Super Bowl Sunday. And so it's interesting, my son Joey, when he said, oh man, he goes, you know, it's funny, you the sports guy, and those of you who know me, I love sports, okay? Said, isn't it funny that you'd be speaking on Super Bowl Sunday? Do you think you're going to have some kind of message to tie things in? And, you know, I thought about that, but, you know, as a New Englander, for some reason, this year, I'm just not as interested. I'm not really sure why that is, okay? But I will say, on one Super Bowl-related note, is that I promise to get everybody home by halftime tonight, so. So the first challenge today for me, and I have a feeling for a lot of us here, is that, honestly, it would be so much easier for me to be talking about football than talking about God's Word. That's, as I was preparing and putting this all together, you know, that's what really hit me home. Is, you know, God teaches us, like, every day. In every situation, He shapes us, He speaks to us. And in preparing to speak, which I've done a lot of public speaking, so it's not like I'm uncomfortable, you know. But it's been very humbling and honestly very difficult. And I really have felt really pretty unqualified, to be honest. It's probably one of the most challenging things I've ever had to do. And as I thought about this morning, and it's funny because my wife is probably sitting here right now saying, this is nothing like what we practiced last night. And it really isn't. It really isn't, okay? Because honestly, last night, I was not in a good place with this. I was really struggling. Because this truly is one of the hardest things to do. And so when I started thinking about it, and, you know, in all fun and fairness, you know, we're talking about football, we're talking about Sunday sports and things like that, the Super Bowl. When I have to compare the two sports, and I'm going to say football, and I'm going to say church, okay, I started thinking about it. Why am I so much more comfortable talking about football? Or talking about maybe any other items, you know? Hey, I've watched lots of games. I know the players. And so then I started thinking about church. And, you know, I've been saved since 1980. So it's been 40 years, okay? Matter of fact, it was 40 years ago in January that I got saved. And during that time, I've probably attended over 2,000 sermons. Read through God's Word many times. I know the players, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, Jesus, right? I know them, right? Yet, putting my thoughts down in spiritual terms was so hard. And my gut feeling is that probably a lot of you sitting here today probably feel the same way. That it's a lot easier for us a lot of times to speak about a lot of other things you know, things that interest us, things that, you know, it's not that God doesn't interest us, but other things are just so much easier sometimes to talk about. And even though, like me, you've probably been to church hundreds and hundreds of times and heard hundreds and hundreds of messages. So, anyway, it's really been a very humbling experience, honestly, for me. So, anyways, what I wanted to talk about is if this challenge... So, if today there's one thing you get out of what I have to say today, this might be the only challenge, all right? I have to say that today... that one of the things that God brought to my attention is that, you know, if this challenge is to get what I have to say today is probably enough, but I guess what I'm trying to say, and I'm sorry, I'm looking at my writing here and I'm saying, man, how did I write that? Because it makes no sense at all. I guess what I'm trying to say, it made sense a few hours ago, but anyway, I guess the challenge today really is that, that I really want to say is that that one of the things that when talking about Super Bowl, talking about the teams and talking about, you know, the spiritual lesson and just how really unqualified I really feel in a lot of ways, I want to say that that, you know, this church needs us, needs me, and one of the things that I realized is that as unqualified as I feel, that our church needs us, and it needs me, it needs you, it needs all of us to step up our game, is what I was getting at. And you know, every team has like starting player, and every team has a backup player. And I've been a backup player for a long time. Yeah, very comfortable too. Just being in the background, you know, letting other people do their thing here. And I think God's been telling me, and I think he's telling some of you, that it's time to play ball, kid. Go get him, okay? So today, I guess I became a starter, okay? And so I want to just say that if you're here today and you're on the sidelines, perhaps church is new to you, then maybe God is calling you to join the team. Okay? Because we need players, and God can really use you. And as much, you know, and this isn't so much really about the game, it's really about life, you know? And that's why, you know, I had this pill put up here, is for, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So it's not a game. It's about life. And I'm calling everybody here today, whether you're a starter, whether you're a backup, or on the sidelines, or perhaps maybe just a spectator, God wants you on his team, and God wants you on his team, and if we want to have a good team, then the players need to do what's best for the team. And that means playing hard, getting along, putting aside differences and egos to make a winning team. Like I said, I'm just a backup that's starting today's, but please, let's all think about helping the team. Okay, but really, I'm going to pull now kind of a Bohemian Rhapsody on everybody, okay? Because honestly, I really planned on talking about prayer today. And by Bohemian Rhapsody, what I mean by that is that, you know how like there's some songs, like they start off one way, and then they dramatically change, you know, like, You know, Bohemian Rhapsodies, that's a mama just killed a man. Then Galileo, Galileo, let it go, right? You know, and you know, so I was thinking about that, and then, you know, you got like Band on the Run, stuck east side and 401, and then hey, the rain exploded, you know. So anyway, I'm going to pull that on you, because really, we're going to kind of change gears here, and really what I planned on talking about was prayer. And we're going to take a quick look at Matthew, 6. And frankly, there's so much that I could say and possibly should say. But this morning when I woke up, God reminded me to simplify. You know, the words of Henry Thoreau's book there, Walden Pond, you know. And it's funny because when I think back to that book, to be honest with you, I absolutely hated that book, all right? Okay? And there's only two things that I remember. One is simplify. And number two, and with all due respect, don't shave with a rusty razor, because that's what ultimately actually killed the author. So. In Matthew 6, Jesus shows us how, Jesus does two things. One is he shows us how not to pray, and he also provides a framework for us to pray, okay? And he teaches us to pray to our Father, okay? And our Father, it's not only... The reason he uses Father, which honestly at the time was kind of really revolutionary, because you know what? In the Gospels, God refers to God the Father about 165 times or something like that. In the Old Testament, the concept of Father or Father really is only mentioned like less than 15 times, because they had quite a different view of God. And so Jesus, when he comes out and refers to God as our Father, it was really kind of like, to the Jews, really pretty revolutionary. And so anyway, so he teaches to pray the Father, and the reason he uses Father is not only to point out the respect we should have in prayer, for basically, let's face it, our Father created us, okay? But he also, to illustrate the intimate relationship we can have with God in prayer. I mean, who wouldn't want to have an intimate relationship with their Father? So the first thing I want to do is, because I think, like I said, my point was here to keep it simple, because there's just so much. I mean, we literally could spend, you know, the next 8 weeks talking about prayer. And I did promise I'd get you back by halftime. So anyway. But first thing I want to do is point out our... you know, the Lord's Prayer, which we see behind me, but also, more importantly, I want to introduce you to Pebbles. And wonder, like, okay, Pebbles our cat. Okay, Pebbles is one of our cats. And I have to tell you, I don't really care for cats. Okay, I have to be honest with you. My wife, she's the cat person, okay? They really do nothing for me, but... And it's funny, too, because... several months ago, the Wall Street Journal, I like reading the Wall Street Journal. A lot of people think of the Wall Street Journal as, oh, hey, Wall Street Journal is just about, business and all that stuff. But it really isn't. They have a lot of little cool, articles in there. And one of the articles they had was about, you know, your cat hears you but doesn't care, okay? Because, you know, and it goes into this whole psychology of cats and, like, do cats really recognize their names or don't they recognize their names? And they said the truth is that a cat does, but they just don't care, okay? And anyways, so speaking about don't care is that, you know, as I was preparing this the other day, this cat Pebbles, you know, comes by, and the thing about Pebbles is, you know what? She hates people. She really does. She absolutely. She will do anything she can to avoid people, and avoid human interaction. Okay, and except for one time, and that's in the morning when she wants to be fed. So what happens is every morning I'm up first, and who comes by and starts rubbing on my leg and suddenly is interested in me, okay? It's Pebbles the cat, okay? But I'll tell you something. Once she's fed, boy, she is gone, okay? And that's it. She loses total interest in me or anybody else. And that's kind of, I think, for us, when we think about prayer, for some of us, that's how we treat prayer, okay? You know, we come to God when we really need him. When we're hungry, we want to be fed, okay? But you know what? When we're full and satisfied, you know, where's God? Do we even lean on him at all? So thank you, Pebbles, for helping me here today, okay? So anyways, next, as I was preparing, and it's funny, again, you know, God puts things in your life, and this was something that I thought everybody would get a kick out of, and Beth, if we could play the next thing, I have a cute little video that I think gives us an interesting perspective on prayer.
You can't pray for shoes.
Why not?
Because you're not supposed to pray for petty things.
Well, at church today, I prayed for my raise, and I got that.
That's what you were praying for? Okay, you obviously have no idea what you're doing here.
An extra $100 a week says I do.
Okay, how can I explain this to you? Let's pretend I'm God.
I'd
love to end world hunger, but I'm too busy looking for cheap shoes for Carrie. Oh, well.
Okay, you know what? I believe that you can pray for the important things, and you can also pray for the not-so-important things. God's a pretty bright guy. He can figure it out.
Well, that's how you think it works?
Yeah, that's how I think it works.
Okay. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't even know how to pray right. You're kneeling by the bed like a 5-year-old.
I will pray any way I want to.
Fine. Pray the way you want. I look like a moron.
What is your problem?
My problem is you're using God as your own personal genie.
I am not.
You are too. You think that if you want a pair of shoes, all you got to do is pray for them, and poof, they're new shoes. Well, that's not the way it works, okay? This does not equal this.
I did not do anything wrong.
Once again, let's pretend I'm God.
Okay, you know what? Don't do God again. You do about the worst God I've ever heard.
You know what? You're done. You're done praying. It's over.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's right. I forbid it.
Oh, forbid it. Okay. You know what? I just thought of a few more things I want to pray for.
Oh, really? What, is there a lipstick out there that you actually don't have? Well, you know what? Try praying with this in the background. Oh, look at that. Dallas. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Fine. I will just use my prayers to cancel out your prayers.
Oh, bring it!
Oh, I'm bringing it. You're going down.
So anyways, now I thought that was great. And, you know, I'd never seen that before. And then, you know, just by chance, okay, Friday night, all of a sudden, I just happened to walk into the kitchen, and they showed this little video. I was like, "All right, well." And I thought, it's funny, but it also does bring home a lot of interesting points, and because it puts into question. And this is the thing that when I was preparing for prayer, that I thought about a lot, and God spoke to me about is your motives, and you know, like what's your motives when you pray, okay? And how also, and how you view God when you pray. And the part I found most interesting, actually, in the end, was the part about him canceling out the prayer, okay? Because one of the things that I thought about is, how does God reconcile when two people are praying for the same things in a competing way, okay? Let's face it, a lot of us have prayed, oh, change that person's heart. Change them. And meanwhile, that person is probably saying, change his heart, okay? How does God reconcile that, okay? And Anyway, so it kind of got me thinking about, the way really God reconciles that is really it's got to start working within us. And so brought to my attention, and really, you know, I'm not a person that, I didn't go to seminary, so I'm up here today. I don't, you know, didn't study the Bible to that degree, okay? And that's one of the reasons why I felt unqualified. But what I do feel that any of us here can do is try to relate some real-life stories that maybe happened in our life. And hopefully, you know, that's going to be powerful in helping you. So I have to share a story about how one of my boys years ago, he wanted to get his ear pierced. And I'll tell you, I wasn't happy about it. And matter of fact, for days and days, I said, just please don't do it. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. And anyways, the day came when he had his appointment, when he was supposed to have his ear pierced. And I didn't know what he decided. So that morning, for some reason, I had someplace I had to be super early. And I wrote him this long letter, basically begging him not to do it, giving him a million reasons why not to do it and all that stuff. And anyways, when I came home later that night, I found there was a letter waiting for me. And I have to say, he wrote back a very, very honest and heartfelt response that explained why it was important to him. And it really revealed a lot about him that, you know, it was important. And it was important to him, but mostly, you know what it really revealed? What I realized after I read his letter and I understood really what he had to say is that my prayers were never about him, okay? Was really about me. You know what was really in the back of my mind? Not so much whether he was going to get his ear pierced. It was what were people going to think about me. That's what was in my mind. And, you know, I was so worried about protecting my super dad image. Meaning my motivation was wrong, okay? And God revealed that to me. And the interesting part is that probably in a certain way, I think God revealed things to him as well. Because you know what? He got his ear pierced. He put in his earring. And you know what? It didn't take him very long to realize that that really didn't do a whole lot for him. Not what he thought it was going to do. So I guess you could say that, you know, that God answered our prayers, our conflicting prayers, and you could say in a certain way. So that's why I want you all to check your motives when you pray, because one of the things that I found as I've learned more about prayer is that God really, if your motivation is right, wrong, I'm not sure God's really going to answer it. But anyway, I do want to say also, so one of the other things God put in my heart, and whether you realize it or not, as you were walking in today, we kind of jotted down who was here today. And so I have, I thought it, since I had an opportunity to share something with you, I thought it would be really powerful if maybe somebody else from the congregation came up. And so I put, you know, a bunch of names in a hat here, and we're going to pick your names and then ask one of you guys to come up and just share a story about how God answered prayer in your life. So let's see. And, okay, who do we got here? All right. So, oh, okay, Debbie Sloan. Okay, so we got Debbie Sloan. Would you mind coming up here, Deb, and sharing with us? Okay. Come on. Oh, that's right. Didn't even think of that.
And I've never done this before, so.
Okay. Can we use this one? Okay. Hello. Good, right.
Hello.
Thank you, by the way.
Okay. About, a couple of weeks ago, I was at Bible study, and we were discussing prayer in the brief series. And Ray thought it would be a good idea. He encouraged me to come up here. So if you have any complaints, Ray.
Notice I'm walking away from her, by the way. So it's a...
On Sunday, July 15th, 2018, I spoke to Ray and Gigi Anchin. After breaking the bread and asked if they would pray for me, pray that at one day that I could have a conversation with my ex-husband. And at that time, we had been divorced 22 years, and I hadn't spoken to him. On Saturday, July 21st, 2018, as usual, from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m., I went for a walk and had breakfast with my friend Cheryl Kenny. This is something I do every Saturday. Also on Saturday, from 9 to 11, I always have a Bible study with my friend Cheryl McElhaney in South Attleboro. However, we were not meeting this particular Saturday because it just so happened that her brothers were visiting from Ohio. Since my normal routine was changing, after working all week, I thought it would be nice to have a free morning. So after breakfast, I planned to go home and get some things done in my house. Then I thought later in the day, I would call my son when he was out of work to see if he and his wife would be up for a visit. However, what a coincidence. My breakfast buddy Cheryl called and asked if I would drive her to Pawtucket because her red Mercedes had needed work and it was ready to be picked up. So of course, I did. It just so happened that before we left the repair shop, Cheryl asked me to meet her back at her house in North Attleboro to continue our visit as she'd been away on vacation. And she said we had a lot of catching up to do. So there went the house stuff. I said, oh, well. What a coincidence. We no sooner got on 95 to head to Cheryl's when I thought I saw her red car get off at the first exit. So I took that exit, too. When I realized it wasn't Cheryl's car, I pulled into a parking lot to turn around. I called Cheryl to let her know that since I was in South Attleboro, it would make more sense to visit with my daughter-in-law now rather than meet them later in the afternoon. However, it just so happened the night before when I thought I had deleted old messages on my cell phone, I also deleted her contact information and I couldn't call my daughter-in-law. So I decided to take a ride over as they just lived a short distance away. I saw my son's truck in their driveway, and my first thought was, I hope everything's okay. It's Saturday, and he should be working. I knocked at the door. When it opened, it just so happened that my ex-husband was standing there, and we were both shocked. My son had always told me not to come if his father was visiting. But obviously, God had other plans. First, God changed my usual routine. Then God had me follow the wrong car, which led me to South Attleboro, where my son lives. Then, since I had deleted their number, I went directly to their house unannounced. But I had not orchestrated this. God worked out every detail. I was so grateful for the opportunity to talk to him. We both were able to apologize for the past, to let go of needless guilt, and share in the blessing of our son's new little baby. And I was also able to tell him what Jesus had done in my life. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to be much better. Even more importantly, to be able to tell him that God loves him, that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us for our sins, then all we need to do is believe and ask. It was such a healing time. I know that I finally felt at peace when we finished our conversation, and I know that he felt the same way because he acknowledged that our conversation was long overdue. I know that I planted seeds, and I believe that our conversation has changed his heart. Further confirmation God was working in my husband's life was that after many years of distance between my daughter and her dad, there is evidence of healing. I know God is working. She received a beautiful Christmas card this year saying that her faith was a blessing to others, and that having her as a daughter was one of his greatest gifts from God. He also has been calling her, giving her fatherly advice, something he had not done in years. And this is in regard to her selling her house in Connecticut and moving to Massachusetts. Although my son was not happy about me seeing his dad, I know it was the answer to prayer. My prayers for many years and the prayer of Ray and Gigi. God heard my prayer. He planned our meeting. It's also great to see God changing my son's heart. His baby has been such a blessing in his life. He's 44, and his son is 2, which is interesting. At one time, he didn't think he could have been any happier during his marriage. But God knew what he needed. I pray that God will continue to open his eyes and also for the salvation of all of them. Psalm 121 was a scripture I chose when I was baptized in 1999. The verse says, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." My help still comes from the Lord through persistent praise and prayer. His story, our family story, and your story is not over yet. There are no coincidences. He is faithful. He always hears. And in his providence, in his timing, whether the answer is yes, no, or not yet, he always answers. God is good. All the time.
Thank you, Deb. Really appreciate it. Yeah, so yeah, Deb had, well, actually, I got to ask everybody. So who, I want an honest show of hands, was nervous that they were going to get their name picked out of the hat? Okay. You know, you bunch of bench warmers, all of you, okay? All right? Anyway, when Deb shared that prayer, basically shared that story and that answered the prayer, there was a couple thoughts that came to mind. First of all, you know, she mentioned her friend Cheryl McElhaney, who's sitting right over here, okay? And she'd always been, like, she'd go spend time with Cheryl Kenny in the morning, and then she would go see Cheryl McElhaney. And what I realized at the time was, don't miss the main point. The main point is good things happen when you don't go see Cheryl. But but somehow that got lost in all this other stuff. But anyway, you knew I had to get you, you know? So, but really, you know, when we look at our father, you know, our father's prayer, it says, talks about forgiveness and forgiving our debtors, okay? And Deb, for all those years, 22 years, had held a lot of things inside. And it was when she finally got to the point of forgiveness that God was ready to answer. And 1 week later, amazing, 1 week after, you know, God orchestrated all those things. I mean, you know, followed the wrong car, lost the cell phone number. It's just an amazing, amazing story. So I thought it's important to realize that when our heart is in the right place, you know what? God answers. Okay? So, anyway, I hope what I was able to share today, I hope what Deb shared with us today, you know, reveal some things about God. And Beth, could you put up the last cell, please? You know, because I think one of the things that, you know, we learn is that, you know, prayer requires more heart than tongue, okay? And that's something that when we were reading about what God said how not to pray in Matthew 5, he talked about, you know, how the Pharisees would just go up there and talk and say all these very wordy prayers, very impressive prayers. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been around somebody that has these impressive, glorious prayers and that have words and things like that, and it kind of makes you feel inadequate? Okay? Yeah, I've been there and things like that. And you know what? If their heart's in it, then that's great, you know? But really, that's not something that God gets impressed by, okay? It's not really how you say it, you know? It's really, that doesn't impress God. But the main thing I wanted the people to think about, and when you go home today, is to think about what's your motivation. What's your motivation? Like I learned the hard way with the story I told, that, you know what, my motivation isn't always right when I pray. And so when we wonder, like, why is God not answering our prayer, well, maybe we need to go back and realize that we're the problem. It's not him, okay? You know, and that ultimately, you know, he uses the Father for a reason, because really, prayer should be an intimate conversation between you and God, okay? Just to take you back, let's not be prayers like my cat Pebble, okay? Let's pray to God when, you know, times are good, when times are bad, and when times are in between, okay? Because ultimately, how'd you feel? If you're God and he says, you know, I only hear from this guy when he needs me, okay? And I think sometimes that's how a lot of us approach God. So anyways, I appreciate you listening. And on on the theme of Father, I have Megan. Okay, she's going to do some special music for us today. Okay, so thank you, Megan.
When people look inside my life, I wanna hear them say, she has her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that find the good in things when good is not around. Eyes that found the source of help when help just can't be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes. On that day when we will pay for all the deeds we have done, good and bad, they'll all be had to see by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be, she had her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that find good in things when good is not around, eyes that find a source of help when help just can't be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through, feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes.
Thank you, Megan. And so we're going to have the ushers come up now and do our regular collections. If you're a visitor here, feel no obligation. We're just glad to have you come today. And just remember, we come here on Sundays to learn, but it's important that what we learn, we apply to our lives. So I hope what we learned today is helpful to you, and just thank you for listening.